If that clap is for Jesus, will you do it bigger right now? Do it bigger, do it bigger. Body of our praise. Hallelujah. Now shall we lift up our hands and worship Jesus one more time? It's never too much thanking him. It's never too much praising him. It's never too much adoring him. The more we thank him, the more he blesses. The more grateful we are, the more faithful he becomes. God is faithful. We must be grateful. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Blessed be God forevermore. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. Heavenly Father, we have come to this mountain of transfiguration, to this mountain of change, and we thank you because everyone shall return from Shiloh as already declared by your servant. Thank you, mighty Father. Let your word proceed with clarity. Let your word proceed with power. Let your word proceed to produce a change. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name. Please give Jesus another big hand and take your seat. And with a smile on your face, welcome your neighbors all around you, to the right, to the left. Is your neighbor smiling or laughing? Amen. One of the characteristics of heaven is laughter. If you are not laughing, you are not in heaven. Amen. According to scriptures, he said, he that is seated in heaven shall laugh. And we are seated in the heavenly places. If you are truly seated there, will you laugh? Hallelujah. That's in Psalm 2, verse 4. He that is seated in the heavens shall laugh. No matter what is happening, from Shiloh 2014, you shall be laughing. I am eternally grateful to God for the privilege given to me to bring God's word, preceding the coming forth of God's servant. I'm standing here tonight as John the Baptist to prepare the way for the fullness of God's blessing that will be coming your way. And I'm truly grateful to God for this privilege. Close to 35 years ago, I met a man who was exhuming heaven on earth. I got attracted because that's the kind of life I was looking for. And that in the person of my spiritual father, Bishop David Oyedepo. And ever since then, I've found joy, I've found fulfillment, I've enjoyed guidance, I've enjoyed training under him. And I believe that the word you'll be hearing tonight is out of the much I've received from him. And tonight, I'm standing on the existing anointing on this altar, and God is going to reach out to you mightily. In the confectionery world, there are bakers and there are distributors. God's servant has stood before the Lord for Shiloh 2014 to bake the word for us. And as a distributor, I'm here distributing some of it to you. Will you receive your own? May you enjoy the menu tonight. Tonight, I'll be sharing with us on walking in the reality of heaven on earth. Heaven is real here. The word real means tangible. actual, existing, provable. The kingdom in which we are is a provable kingdom. There is heaven to come, which we're all looking forward to going to later. But there is another heaven that has come. Luke 17, verses 20 and 21, they came to Jesus asking him about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus answered them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. And in verse 21, Jesus furthermore said, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. While some are looking forward to go to heaven, heaven has already come to others. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So, heaven is not just imaginary. Not something we imagine. Heaven is tangible. Jesus experienced it. The apostles experienced it. Heaven is not just a place to go to in the future. Heaven is a state we assume at new birth. It's not just a place. It is a state. It is a status that we assume at new birth. It is a lifestyle to be exhibited. It is to be demonstrated. It is not a story to be told. It's a mystery to be exhibited and demonstrated. It is not a world of by and by, like we hear it sung many times. By and by, when the trumpet sound, when the saints of God have got a bow, we will tell the story how we overcome, but we'd understand it better by and by. We are not waiting to get there to tell the story. We'll be telling the stories of our victory here. That's why we keep sharing testimonies. Testimonies of the manifestation of the kingdom of God. At Shiloh 2014, you will not be hearing stories of heaven. You will be shown the mysteries of heaven. Jesus said unto you, it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. It is not about story. It's about mystery. It's not about where to go to a place. It's about the state, the status we have assumed. It will interest you to know that at your new birth, you were actually born into the kingdom, and the kingdom was born into you. Jesus proved the reality of heaven on earth. John 10, 37. If I do not the works of my Father that is in heaven, believe me not. He came to manifest it. And how did he do that? He did that by raising the dead, making the lame to walk, making the blind to see, devils cast out. Matthew 12, 28, Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. He manifested it. He was fully in charge. Matthew 4, 23, he went from towns to cities to villages preaching the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So the kingdom of God, which is come into you, is a kingdom of demonstration. It's a kingdom of manifestation. And from Shiloh 2014, these manifestations will be seen in your life. When John sent his disciples in doubt of whether it was Jesus to come or not, Jesus said, I have no answer for you. I suppose Jesus was to have an evening meeting, and he called the disciples of John and put them in the front row. And after the service, Jesus asked them, what did you see? And they said, the blind saw, the deaf hear. And Jesus said, go tell John what you have seen. The kingdom of God is here. That's in Luke chapter 7, verses 22 and 28. Jesus furthermore said, whosoever has seen me has seen the Father. From now, they will not be looking for the Father again. When they see you, they will say, oh, true, the Father is here. You see, the manifestations of the kingdom is what brings an end to discussions. Manifestation is the end of discussion, is the end of argument. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He furthermore said, I am from above. I came from heaven. John chapter 8, verse 23. Amazingly, the Gospel of John spoke so much about the identity of Jesus and what he came to do. And he said, ye are from beneath here. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I am from heaven. From now on, people will know that you are from above. Now, it's important for us to quickly be reminded, why did Jesus come to this world? Number one, he came to save us. He came to take us back to Eden. Eden was the first heaven on earth. By the sins of the first Adam, he was driven out of the place, and Jesus came as the second Adam. He came to restore us back to the Garden of Eden, heaven on earth, a place of no sorrow, a place of no pain, a place where you get what you want, a place where you possess your possession, a place of no sweat, a place of no struggle. Secondly, he came to teach us, please note that, he came to teach us how to live this life, how to practice this life, how to demonstrate this life, how to manifest heaven on earth. He came to show us that our environment is not our problem, but our ignorance. He came to demonstrate absolute control. He was on the sea. A storm arose. He rebuked the storm. He walked on the waters. He did whatever is happening in heaven to show to them that it can be done. We saw also how the apostles did it. They lived in the reality of heaven on earth. In the time of Paul the apostle, Acts chapter 14 verse 11, they said the gods have come down in the likeness of men. Heaven has come down. They tasted of the world to come, according to Hebrews chapter 6 verse 6. Now, as we go further, how did Christ walk in this reality? How did Jesus walk in this reality? And the fundamental answer is, Christ Jesus knew who he was. He knew who he was. The question of identity is very crucial in your walk in the realms of heaven and earth on earth. If you don't know who you are, Satan will tell you who you are not. This is why the greatest contest of the enemy with you is to confuse you about who you are. And if you check the Gospels very well, Jesus never means word. He did not allow anybody to confuse him. Jesus keeps saying, I am. I am. This is who I am. The declaration of your identity is the restoration of your dignity. Knowing who you are is what puts you in control. Christ knew who he was. Before he came, even John the Baptist was confronted. In John chapter 1, verses 19, 22, 23, they were asking him, who are you?
They sent people to ask him, who are you? Tell us who you are. Then they said unto him again, who are you that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What says thou of yourself? What are you saying of yourself? This is the big question to every one of us tonight. What are you saying of yourself? You have said several things that people said about you. You have blamed your uncle that your uncle said you will never make it. You blamed your mother that your mother said you will never make it. You blamed the herbalist that the herbalist said you will never make it. You even blamed your pastor that the pastor didn't prophesy well over your life. But who are you? What says thou of yourself? Of course, you can't say anything of yourself beyond what you know of yourself. And the same question came to Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 25. They came to him and asked, who are you? Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I have told you before. I told you from the beginning. I told you. When I look through John's gospel, there were not less than 10 places where Jesus declared who he was. I am life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the resurrection. I'm the bread of life. And he declared all of that without apology. In John chapter 8, verses 12 to 14, he told them of where he was coming from. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light. He didn't let them confuse him. He said, thou bearest records of yourself. Your record is not true. Jesus said, it doesn't matter. Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. You may not understand it. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Why? Because I am as wind. Hallelujah. You see, the world can never understand you. Don't wait for them to understand you. Don't change your mind because they don't understand you. Insist on who you are. Declare who you are. Stand on who you are. They may not understand you, but they cannot deny the proofs about you. Jesus furthermore said in John 8, 42, I proceeded and came from God. And because of that, they sought to kill him. For saying that God was his father, making himself equal with God. John chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Jesus declared, my father walketh hitherto and I walk. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath. You see, when you know who you are, you will be breaking many laws. But said unto also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. Making himself equal with God. At another time, they took up stone to stone him for blasphemy. Because they said, thou being man, make thyself God. John chapter 10, verses 31 to 33. Persecution rose against him because he made himself equal with God. Then the Jews took up the stone to stone him. And Jesus said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered, saying, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, make thyself God. You see, people will not persecute you for looking good. They will start persecuting you when you start declaring who you are. Many years ago, I was preaching in church, and I declared, I cannot be sick. And one good Baptist man was on the gallery. And according to his testimony, he got angry. What blasphemy! How can somebody be saying he cannot be sick? I'm not blaming him. I was there before. But that word did not leave him. He went back home. Meanwhile, he has been having 3 afflictions in his body, ranging from 8 years to 16 years. High blood pressure, hypertension, and diabetes. Complex matters. According to him, at every session, which he observed 3 times in a day, he takes 8 pills. So he got home in the afternoon and took the can. He was using can. He wasn't using sachets because the drugs were many. And as he was set to take that dose, that word came striking. I cannot be sick. And the can dropped off his hand. And accordingly, he said, let's leave this can first. Waited the following day. No symptom. 1 week, no symptom. 1 month, no symptom. When he saw that it was now a year, he said, I must go and share my testimony. People will speak, persecute you when you begin to declare your identity in Christ. Listen to this. The most dangerous man to the devil is the one who has discovered who he is. The most dangerous man to the devil is the man who has discovered who he is. The greatest threat that Satan had is the discovery that Jesus knew who he was. Before he came, nobody knew who they were. He was tossing them here and there. Nobody could tell where he was coming from. That's why they picked up stone. Meaning to say, don't let more people hear it. Stop him! Stop him! Stop him! Remember, when the apostles came, they were also being threatened not to speak again. That same gospel, not to speak again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They threatened them not to speak. But those men led by Peter said, we cannot bespeak the things which we have heard and said. You haven't seen what we see. We can keep quiet. If you will not keep silent on declaring your identity, Satan will soon leave you alone. You have been announcing many things they said about you, but you have not said one thing that God said about you. At Shiloh 2014, you'll begin to declare who you are. Now, the big question is, who am I? Because your identity determines your limit. Without identity, destiny is eroded. In your identity contains your dignity. The discovery of your identity is the point of your reaction. Is the point of your reaction. A young man came to church some time ago. According to his testimony, he traveled all the way from Lagos to Kaduna. From 90 kg, he dropped to 60 kg. He couldn't diagnose what the problem was. And when he got to Kaduna, according to his testimony, something told him, locate your townspeople so that if you die, you will have people to bury you. And that he did faithfully. And something else told him, locate a church. And good enough, 3 days program was running. He came to church the first day. He was hearing some strange things. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. And then he shifted on his chair. Second day he came, the same thing. Third day he came. After the third day, he said, Satan, unto, you have deceived me long enough. The discovery of yourself is the point of your reaction. There is a reaction that will take place in you at Shiloh that will make you to walk out on the devil, because you are going to discover who you are. You will discover that you are not a chicken meant for pepper soup to the devil. Who am I? It is knowing who you are that empowers you to be what you have been redeemed to be. You are redeemed to be great. You are redeemed to be triumphant. Now, quickly tonight, let's look at three pictures that the scriptures painted about who we are, so as to enhance the reality of our heaven on earth. Number one, I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. The scripture paints the picture. And if children, then heirs. And I mean heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Also, Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Galatians 4, 7. Repeating almost the same thing there. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant. Say, I'm no more a servant. Say it confidently, I'm no more a servant. But who are you now from that scripture? But a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, listen to this. Who is an heir? An heir is one who has a right or power to partake of inheritance. He is a co-owner. Now, before I explain this further, let me quickly say, among the redeemed, there are three categories, basically. We have babes, we have children, and we have sons. We are all born as babes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes. Even Jesus was born as a babe. But we are expected to grow from babes into childhood. And expected to mature from childhood into sonship. And why? Only sons are described as heirs. They are the ones who are matured to possess their possession. Now, note this also. That until Jesus was declared the Son of God, he was limited. As a babe, they even carried him to go and hide him when Herod was looking for how to kill him. The best babes can do is to cry. The best children can do is to beg. What sons do is to take. And the child grew, talking about Jesus. And then thereafter, Luke chapter 3, verse 21, a voice came from heaven as he went for baptism. This is my beloved son. Verse 22, in whom I am well pleased. And it was after that moment he went to the wilderness to pray, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. And thereafter in chapter 9, he went again to pray, and a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. I have given him authority. You must obey him. So the ultimate journey of the redeemed is here to become an heir. One who has a right, power of inheritance. One who has become a co-owner. Sonship makes you a co-owner with God. Just as it is in the natural. The moment your children grows into sonship, there is nothing more to hide from them. They go freely to take what they find around you. That I can say from experience. By the grace of God, we are blessed with two sons. When I'm not in, they go to the wardrobe and take anything they like. And I can't ask, why did you take that thing? Because it's meant for them. The father had reserved a blessing for us, his children. But we have to grow into co-ownership as heir. That's why when you grow up, you don't beg for healing again, you take your healing. You don't beg for children, you take your children. You don't beg for progress, you take your progress. At Shiloh 2014, you'll be taking everything that belongs to you. That is why you don't become a functional heir if you don't grow. Galatians chapter 4, from verses 1 to 4 and down to 7. He said, but an heir, as long as he is a child, is nothing better from a servant, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father comes. Even so, we, when we were children, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world, witches and wizards oppressing you. Until you become a son, there will still be certain influences working against you. I mean, until you become a son. You need to grow up from childhood and mature into sonship to become an heir of God so you can possess what belongs to you. Romans 8:19 tells us that the manifestation is for sons of God. The anticipation of the creator waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not for babes of God, not for children of God. God's servant has received the word from the Lord that at Shiloh 2014, it will be a birthplace of giants. You don't call babes and children giants. It's for sons. How interesting this is, that you are not just an heir of God, but a joint heir with Christ Jesus. That means you are in partnership with Jesus. You are tied with Jesus. Whatever Jesus assessed, you can assess. Whatever Jesus didn't suffer, you are not allowed to suffer. The way Jesus demonstrated is the way you should demonstrate. You are a joint heir. You are an heir of God, then you are a joint heir. So you have a vertical connection and you have horizontal connection with Jesus. You and Jesus are holding yourself together. You can't fall because Jesus can't fall. You can't be defeated because Jesus cannot be defeated. At Shiloh 2014, the reality of your sonship shall be delivered to you. What more? Number two, save me, I am a citizen of heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. He said, our citizenship is in heaven. The word conversation there means citizenship. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a citizen? It means to be a native. It means to have heaven as your homeland. And by that, you are entitled to heaven's protection and privileges. It's your entitlement. You are from heaven. What happens here should not happen to you. What happens to them should not happen to you. Number three, who am I? Remember, I'm an heir of God. Number two, I'm a citizen of heaven. Number three, I am an ambassador of Christ. Who is an ambassador? An ambassador is an authorized messenger. Authorized messenger. You are not just here. You have God's authority, God's backing to be here. An authorized representative, a spokesman. You are to be speaking on the behalf of God. When you understand your position, see, when ambassadors of any nation goes to his place of service, it doesn't say the president of my nation is saying this. He speaks as the president of that nation. We saw this in the Old Testament. When Elijah will come and say, there shall not be rain by my word, except by my word. They were representing heaven in practical terms. That's what Jesus came to do. The storm came, Jesus said, peace be still.
He met the lame, cleansed them. He met the oppressed, he delivered them. All because he understood that he's an ambassador of Jesus. Nothing should happen around you without your consent, without your permission. That's what it means. As we close, how do you maximize your work in the realm of heaven and earth? Very important. You must be born again. You must first be a child before you become an heir. You must first be a child before you become an heir. Romans 8:16. The Spirit bear witness with us that we are sons of God, and from there we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Salvation precedes your placement as an heir of God, as a citizen of heaven, as an ambassador of Christ. But number two, very importantly, you must search to discover who you are. You must search to discover who you are. Even Jesus discovered himself by searching, by searching, by searching. Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 2 first, from verses 46 to 49, he sat among doctors and lawyers, both hearing and asking questions. And in chapter 4, verse 16, as his custom was, he went to the temple, and a book was delivered to him to read. And there he found what was written about him. He found what was written about him. Jesus did not discover himself by accident. He discovered himself by a search, a concerted search. So you have to engage yourself in searching with a big question before you. Who am I? Who am I? And as you prayerfully engage in searching the scriptures, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you who you are. At Shiloh 2014, the real you will emerge. The covering of your face shall be destroyed. Meanwhile, I'd like you to rise to your feet and begin to declare what you have heard that you are. I am an heir of God. If Jesus cannot be cheated, I cannot be cheated. I'm a citizen of heaven. Whatever is not in heaven shouldn't take place in my life. There is no barrenness in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no pain in heaven. There is no poverty in heaven. Make your declaration right now. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm not sure I'm hearing your voice. Let the devil hear your voice right now. Let the angels hear your voice. Make your very bold declaration. Maybe you have never done that before. Because Jesus is not sick, I cannot be sick. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Jesus was never poor, I can never be poor. Jesus was not downcast, I cannot be downcast. Jesus never had accident, I can never have accident. Jesus was never cheated, I cannot be cheated. Somebody, take your blessing. Take what belongs to you right now. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you. Come and wave your hand with joy, with a smile on your face. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we are prayed. First thing first. You don't assume sonship until you are first a babe. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You don't wish sonship. You are first born and then you grow into sonship. Somebody is here tonight at Shiloh Ground or in any of the viewing centers. The Spirit of God has been speaking to you that you must be born again. You want your sins forgiven. You want new life in Jesus. You want to enjoy the authority of Jesus. It's all available to you if only you will surrender to him. Give him your life. He will mold it for you and give you his authority. Tonight, I'd like all of us to be seated. Wherever you are, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost is all across, everywhere right now. You must be born again, and you know it. You want to say tonight, Jesus, save me, have mercy on me. Wherever you are, I'd like you to stand to your feet to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Stand to your feet. Tonight is your night. You have no choice but to be saved, because today is your day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Church, I thought you are excited. See how many people are standing up to give their life to Jesus. Wherever you are, in any of the viewing centers, you stand to your feet as well. In all of the viewing centers, you march to the altar here right now. May the altar of your congregation right now. While everyone in the main center here, you just walk to the aisles where the church officials will attend to you. You just move just by the aisles. They will attend to you there. There are also individuals here tonight who were once born again, but due to certain situation, you took your life back from Jesus. You felt he couldn't help you. And since you left, you have not received help. Why don't you return home to him tonight? No one can repair your life for you like he will do. No one can make things good for you like he will do. You want to be restored back to the faith? God's mercy is still showing tonight. All who want to be restored back to the faith, stand to your feet as well. Can you see them standing? Let's give Jesus a big hand for them. It is not the way it used to be with you before. You are backslidden or you are backsliding. Stand to your feet. Oh, can you see that? Jesus is showing mercy tonight. Satan is losing. Jesus is winning. Stand to your feet. More people are standing up. Shiloh is a place of restoration of faith. Jesus is Lord. In all of the viewing centers, make sure you move straight to the altar area and you'll be prayed for. If you are watching this event, you are not in the church, you are by your computer, you just stand before it as we pray right now. Now, everybody standing, will you please place your right hand on your chest and pray this most important prayer with me right now. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Say it out loud if you can. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight as a sinner. I need your mercy and your forgiveness. Jesus, save me, cleanse me, wash my sins away. Right now, I believe in my heart that you died for me. On the third day, you rose again for my justification. Now that I believe, I'm justified, I'm cleansed, I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, I am saved, I am born again. I am now a child of God. Thank you for saving me. I receive grace to follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Keep your hands still on your chest as I pray. Heavenly Father, these souls are received into your kingdom tonight. And your kingdom comes into them right now. The church declares that their sins are forgiven. Thank you for saving them. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. All of us at the Shiloh ground here, please get seated. Make sure you complete the form that is inside the package given to you. And as soon as you are done, you just raise it up. The church officials next to you will pick them from you. Make sure you fill that form, because that's the address of how Jesus will locate you. You can't tell. He's bringing some blessing your way. Write the address correctly. If you have telephone, you put the number properly. And in all of the centers, the same thing, the viewing centers, please do the same thing and be blessed in Jesus' name. Say with me, I'm an heir of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm an ambassador of Christ. Give God a big hand, everybody.